I'll ask you to turn with me to Acts chapter number 24 tonight. I want to share a portion of this with you. Acts 24, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 13 tonight. We're going to pray tonight for the prayer request that's been lifted up tonight. Shepherd with the fever, I'm going to pray tonight that break tonight. When you go home, Brother Joy gets to work tomorrow, that fever's broke. Anybody agree with that tonight? Amen. We agree with that tonight. In the name of Jesus, that fever will be broke. And when they go see the physician, whenever that may be, that'll be fine. But pray that fever leaves that baby's body. I believe that tonight. Amen. I told Brandy, if I ever get down and somebody comes there and they got a little doubt, don't let them in my room. I don't care if they're a deacon or a preacher or what. If they come up with doubt, you send them the other way. I don't want them. You send that one up there and say, he ain't ready to die yet. Put that one in the room. You hear me? All right, Acts chapter number 24, verse number 13. Are you cheerful with your choice? Are you happy with your choice this afternoon? The Bible says in Acts 24, verse 13, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. And the Bible says, and this is Paul talking, neither can they prove these things whereof they now accuse me. Acts 24, 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offenses toward God and toward men. Heavenly Father God, as we bow in your presence tonight, Father, we've done agreed in your name, in the name of Jesus, of that baby with the fever that's about 6 months old. Lord, I pray right now that that fever leave. I pray right now it leave in Jesus' name. Father, we are your people tonight. We're called together by your name. And we pray tonight that you touch that baby in a mighty way. Father, they're all over this room tonight. Sister Denise with her heart, Father. Lord, I pray you'd touch her, Father. I pray that you touch Sister Belinda's as she goes tomorrow. Lord, I pray right now for Sister Melissa, Lord God. I lift her up to you, Lord. There's a lot going on in this local body, but I know that heaven can handle every bit of it because that's where our Father in heaven is tonight. Father, I pray that we're all cheerful with the choice that we've made to make you our Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray tonight, Father, for the ones that are sin sick that needs a touch tonight. Lord, I pray you touch them. I pray for the ones that already been born again. Lord, I pray you strengthen them in a mighty way. Father, I love you and I thank you. I thank you for Calvary and I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray right now that you move in this service in a mighty way, and I'll be careful to give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. And we ask it tonight in the Jesus, most holy, precious name. Be with that little boy that's causing ruckus in the class. Lord God, whatever be in him, remove it in the name of Jesus. We ask it tonight in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. Are you cheerful with your choice? Or are you happy with your choice that you're following Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? As we come tonight in Acts chapter number 24 and we start looking in verse 13 through 16, Apostle Paul spoke before Felix the governor and was cheerful to answer for himself. If you look up in verse number 10, he says, I do the more cheerful answer for myself. Paul was glad to be able to answer of the hope that was inside of him. Hey, tonight I want to ask you a question. Why was Paul so cheerful to speak about what was going on in his life? Why was Paul so happy to tell people about Jesus Christ? You know, tonight, you and I, we get in a place in our life sometime, maybe we don't tell it like we should. Hey, but we should also always be happy. Amen? Tonight I want to give you three things or three areas tonight why he was cheerful with his choice tonight. If you look with me, first of all, here in verse number 14, and here's what he says. Number one, Paul worshiped who was worthy. The reason he was cheerful in his worship and the reason he was glad to share his worship because he was worshiping the one that was worthy to be worshiped. If you worship man or you worship any idol on this earth, I want you to know you're going to be all men miserable in a mighty way. But we don't worship anything on this world. We worship Jesus Christ tonight, the only person that deserves worship tonight. tonight. Look what he says here in verse 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, they said he was being a heresy and doing all kind of things. He said, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Tonight, can I say to you that when he worshiped God, he confessed worshiping God. He was not ashamed of God. He was not ashamed of Jesus Christ. If you'll turn with me right where we're at tonight to Romans, if you will, chapter number 1 and verse number 16 tonight, we see where he was not ashamed of God Almighty. Hey, but what did he do? He confessed God and he reverenced him for who he was. I thank God tonight that when I get cheerful in my life, it is when I'm lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. It don't matter what comes my way. It doesn't matter what comes to my plate. If I worship Jesus the way I should and call on His name, though Satan, he has got to flee. Look what he says tonight in Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 16. The Bible says, for I'm not ashamed. There's where he is confessing that he's not ashamed. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Can I say to you tonight that he confessed the worship to God, but also he believed in worshiping God? Hey, tonight the Bible says in John chapter number 4 in verse number 24 that God is a spirit, and they that worship him, they must worship him in spirit and in truth. We must worship him that way tonight. We must worship him in the spirit and we must worship him in the truth. We can't have one or the other. You can't say, well, I'm going to worship him on Sunday and not live in the truth on Monday. Friends, tonight, if you're going to worship God, you're going to have to worship him in spirit and in truth. And when you get worshiping him that way, I want you to know you'll be worshiping very cheerfully in your life. But the Bible also says tonight, not only did he confess worship, not only did he believe in worship, but he was willing to worship God Almighty. Are you willing to worship him tonight? Are you willing to worship him in your life? That's how you get cheerful, when you worship and you get to that place in your life where you don't care who's around you, you're going to lift up the name of Jesus. And Brother Hagin, you go preach at a lot of places, and I'm pretty sure I've not been to none that you've been to. I don't even know where you've been, but I guarantee you, if you're not careful when you get to them places, they'll be cold and they'll be callous when you go in. I preach revivals all around, and they call for revival and want revival. Hey, but they won't come to the altar. They won't worship God. They won't lift their hands, won't even lift their voice unto God. Can I get an amen, Brother Cagle? Hey, tonight I don't want to pastor a church, hey, that will cower down. If I can't worship him in here, I sure won't do it out there. Hey, tonight, can I say to you that Paul worshiped who was worthy? And you say, how do you worship? You become less and he becomes more. Amen. It ain't about me and it ain't about you. Some of you have never been up here behind this sacred desk and you don't know, but I've got it pinned right here. Sister Chris Cantrell, I got her to make them for me, and she printed me out some little old sticky things, and it says, they have come to see Jesus, not you. And every time I stand behind this sacred desk, I read that. You're not here to see me. You're not here to hear me. You're here to hear, thus saith the Word of God, and to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hey, can I say to you tonight, you can look through the epistles and see how Paul and people was lifting him up and was bragging on him. Hey, but you know what he did? He started going less and less. Look with me tonight. We got to hit this part right here. This is good. If you ain't careful, you'll get a big head. If you ain't careful, you'll get a big head. I'm telling you. Preachers, deacons, worship leaders, if you ain't careful, you'll get a big head. People start bragging on you, patting you on the back, and before long, it'll be about you and it won't be about him. And if you let it start being about you, he's going to set you. Just say it. Okay, tonight, Paul worshiped who was worthy. He gets us tonight. He confessed worship. He believed in worship, but he was willing to worship God Almighty. Turn with me to Galatians chapter number 1. I want to show you this tonight, how Paul got to this place in his life. And when he wrote in the book of Galatia, he wrote to the Galatian church here, and he started talking to them. I want you to look how he reverenced himself unto them. And tonight he says this in Galatians chapter number 1 and verse number 1. He was willing to worship God and nobody else. He says, I am Paul, an apostle. Okay? He starts off, I'm an apostle. But look with me, if you will, now turn to, if you will, to the book of Ephesians tonight. Turn with me there from Galatians over to Ephesians tonight, if you will, to in verse number 1. He says, Paul. He's Paul. He is what? What is Paul there? He is an apostle. In Philippians 1:1, he's still an apostle. He says, I'm an apostle. I'm one that has seen Christ. I've seen him. I've seen him face to face. But look what he did here as as he got on over, and you get with me over to the book of Philippians. Turn right over to the book of Philippians. Here's what he says. He goes from an apostle, one that would be up here, that would be elevated, and if you're not careful, you'll be like old Peter. You'll get prideful and you'll get arrogant, and you won't be happy with your choice because you'll be trying to live up to something that you can't. He went from being an apostle. Look what he said about himself. Paul in Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants. He went from being an apostle. He said, oh no, boys, I'm just a servant. Tonight I wonder, how do you see yourself? Do you see your, how do you see, man, if you're going to be cheerful with the choice that you put God number one, you've got to be willing to be a servant. You've got to be willing to be a servant. And let me give you this. Now turn with me to Philemon. Turn with me there. Just keep turning in your Bible. You'll turn right on over there to it. And I'm going to show you what he considered of himself here when we get here. And if you'll look with me here in Philemon tonight, I want to show you this. Here's what he said. All right? Here's what he said. He said, Paul, a prisoner. He said, I am Paul and I'm a prisoner. He said, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He is a prisoner when he gets here. He went from an apostle to a servant. Now he considers himself just a prisoner. He said, hey, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now what is he? He is a prisoner. What anything comes his way, he's okay with it. He can handle anything that comes his way, that it's anything that has to do with Jesus Christ, he is good with it. He can be an apostle, he can be a servant, or he can be a prisoner. Wherever the Lord decides to use him, that's where he want to be used. And he was cheerful with that choice. But let's go back to Acts chapter number 24, and I want to show you this. Number one, he was cheerful with his choice because he worshiped who was worthy. He worshiped who was worthy tonight. But let me give you this tonight. Not only did he worship who was worthy, but he had a resurrection that was real. He had a resurrection that was... If you've been born again, you've been resurrected. If you've not been saved, you're still dead in your sin and trespasses. According to Ephesians chapter number 2, you're dead in your sins and trespasses. But when you get gloriously and marvelously saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, that old man's died and you've resurrected. There's a new man come on the scene. And here's where they was wanting to kill Paul and they didn't like him. Look what he says here. Look, watch your Bible right here. He says this in verse 15, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. He said, boys, I worship who's worthy, and I don't give worship to nobody else. Folks, tonight, don't you worship nothing else. Whatever you do, don't you worship anything else but God alone. Hey, love your family, love your friends, love who you're around, love your job if you want to love it, but don't worship it. There's only one. There's only one that can be worshiped, and that's God alone. He said, I'm worshiping who's worthy, and I'm happy about it because I got a resurrection that's real. I see a lot of people that, man, they ain't happy with their Christian life. They ain't happy. They like to be back where they used to be. They like to be doing the things they used to. They wish they could do what the lost people was doing. When they see them having fun, they wish they could do what the lost man's doing. Man, you don't want that. That lost man's miserable. He just don't know it yet. But he is miserable. He had a resurrection that was real. Let me give you this. He was confident of the resurrection. He got comfort in the resurrection. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians 4 in verse number 18. He said, preacher, do you think he got comfort in the resurrection? I know he did. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 in verse number 18 tonight, that's where our comfort is in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we know that he's coming back one day for the church. He's going to rapture us out before the tribulation, and we're going to be seated high with him. Tonight, I want you to know this. He says, comfort one another with these words. Look at this tonight. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 14, a resurrection that was real. Look at this tonight. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Just tonight, you got to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. You've got to believe that tonight. Paul didn't sugarcoat it. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and the gospel is the resurrection. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Folks, I want you to get this tonight. And he says this in 1 Thessalonians 4:14, if we believe He said, if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. Paul thought he was still going to be alive at the rapture. That's how dark it was in his day. People says, oh, it's dark now, preacher. It's been dark. Preacher, there's a lot going on. There's been a lot going on. Can I get a witness? Man, I'm trying to tell you this afternoon. If you have been saved, you've got a resurrection that's real. You're not taking this. You're gone. You're coming up out of here. I can't help it. Son, I told them boys last night, we had a good time, man. Ooh, I ain't going to get into it. That's another day and another time. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Who's going to come get you? For the Lord himself. For the Lord himself. Brother Les said something in Sunday school Sunday, he was dead on the money. He said, Jesus is standing at the door waiting on go. I believe that, brother. He's standing at the door. He's waiting on the Father and said, go get him. It says, and for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. You wonder why I'm loud. my father's loud. Amen? You ever notice that? You got a kid, he's real quiet. Most of the time his daddy and mama's real quiet. You got a kid, his mom and daddy's real loud. And look at Cagle over there. That's where Sister Cagle gets it, from Mama Cagle. He loud. Look what he says. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And here's the resurrection Paul had. Here's what he said, do with it. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. I see tonight the resurrection was real. He was confident in his resurrection. He had comfort in his resurrection. But when he got here, he had this amazing confirmation of what God could do. And I want you to think about this tonight. Looking for the resurrection, he was longing for it tonight. Paul longed for that in his life. And here's what he did. He confronted people with the resurrection. Here they had some Pharisees and you had Sadducees. Pharisees believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. That's why they was sad, you see. They didn't believe in it. And all the hope was gone. And here's what Paul said tonight. If all you believe is in Christ and you don't believe in the resurrection, you're most men miserable. And in a crowd this size, you would just think that everybody in here believes in the resurrection. And everybody's looking forward to it. But you know, there's a lot of Christians ain't looking forward to it. Because they don't know if they're going to be in it or not. They hope they're going to be in it. They're praying they're going to be in it. But they don't know if they're going to be in it or not. Why? Because they dibbling and dabbling where they ain't supposed to be. And no devil's using it like a heyday all over their life. And if you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians, I'm going to show you this in chapter number 15, what Paul said here. Here's what he laid out to them. He said, listen, boys, I got a resurrection that's real. And that old life, I've left it behind. I'm not there no more. I've said this many a times. You can go to Marion County and find my background up there at the courthouse, but you just don't find me there with it. Sister Christy, can I get an amen? She can pull out what you want to, but you ain't going to find Brother BJ up there. He's been set free by the blood of Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians. Oh, glory. 1 Corinthians 15, if you will. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 12. 1 Corinthians 15, 12. Cheerful will you choice, just glad to be saved. Man, you worship, you get to worship, and you got a resurrection that's real. Look what he says here in verse number 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? How some of you think that there ain't going to be no, that's what he asked them. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If you don't believe in the resurrection, then Jesus Christ didn't rise from the grave. Because if you doubt the resurrection, you can't believe he rose from the grave. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. If I can't preach the resurrection, there's no need me standing up here. Romans chapter number 10, when you get into the book, just turn with me there. We got plenty of time. Oh, man, yeah. We got plenty of time. Turn with me there to Romans chapter number 10. Let me show you this. Had a resurrection that was real. So, well, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in the resurrection. Well, you're lost. You're lost. You're lost. I believe in Jesus, if you don't believe in the resurrection, you're lost. Look what the Bible says in Romans 10:9. And I don't know why God's leading me here, but if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, there's your resurrection, thou shalt be saved. That's what this church stands on, is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The finished work on the cross of Calvary. First words he mentioned in the Bible, you know, when he mentioned there in Jesus in the book of Mark and Luke and Matthew, he said, "Know you not be about my Father's business?" The last one recorded before he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." He was about his Father's business, and then he said, "It's finished." All that in between. Let me give you this tonight in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 14. "And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith also in vain. Yea, and we are found false witness of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And if this life only we have hope in Christ, in this life, if all your hope in it is in Christ, we're all men most miserable." What? What? It's the resurrection. I don't even know why. What are we doing? What am I doing? I don't know, Lord, you handle it. If he died on that cross, he ain't the only man died on the cross. Amen. He's not the only one that ever died on the cross. So that's no big deal. Men die on the cross all the time. They died on the cross all the time, crucifixion. Well, if he died on that cross, they take him off that cross and they put him in a tomb, and he stays in a tomb like every other man. What's the big deal? There's nothing. What makes him different than any other man is this, is he was the God man. When they nailed him on that cross and he died like every other man. He died like every other man on that cross, but the only difference is he died with the sin of the world on his back. And when he come off that cross, he was buried. That's when your sin was buried. It was put in that tomb. It was buried. And on that third day, he came out of that grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave. When he came forth, that's what our hope is in the resurrection. Not in living right, doing right, being right, getting right. It's that he done it right. Yeah. And then by faith, we get to receive it. Paul said, "I got a resurrection that's real, boys. I ain't never hung on a cross, but I've been crucified." That's where we're at tonight. He said, number one, he said, "Man, I got a worship that's very worthy. I worship God. I worship him. Man, I'm telling you." But he said, "I got a resurrection that is real. I got a resurrection that is real. That hurt. That hurt. She ain't got much hair on her head like I don't. You hit that thing with no hair up there. That thing, brother, that skin won't. You know who I'm talking to over there? Both of y'all. That thing of skin. That thing of skin. Resurrection that is real. If all you believe that he just died on the cross, if that's all you believe and you don't believe in the resurrection, you're most men miserable. Let me show you something else here. Man, as I read this, this just really touched my heart. He said this too, though. He said, "I'm cheerful because I got a conscience that's clear. My conscience is clear with God and with men." I wonder how many people in here tonight say, "My conscience clear." Don't you think about that? My conscience is clear with God and with man. Right now, I've got no walk with nobody. We ain't struggling. We ain't fighting. I ain't fussing with nobody, preacher. I ain't fighting with nobody, preacher. I ain't got no walk. There ain't nobody that I just quit talking to and say, "I ain't fooling with them." Paul said, "Hey, I know who I worship. The resurrection is real in my life. And listen, hey, I got a clear conscience with God and man. The way I'm walking, the way I'm talking, and what I'm doing, it ain't offending God, and it sure ain't offending man. And if it did, I'm doing what God's called me to do." I'm going to ask you tonight, is your conscience clear with God? If your conscience ain't clear, you in trouble. You in trouble. A guilty conscience is not good. Either way. Either way. Brother Cagle throw blue lights on me and I ain't done nothing wrong. I got a guilty conscience right off the bat. Right? Until he gets out of the truck and I say, oh man, that's Riley. Whew, thank God. Guilty conscience is not good. I want to show you in the next few moments. I know it's getting, but we got to do it. I want to show you tonight how you cannot have a guilty conscience. Conscience clear with God and with man. Well, I don't care what people think. That's a bad attitude to have right off the bat. You'll never lead them to Jesus if you don't care what they think. You got to get to know them. You got to get to know that person. You got to get to talk to that person. My family is the world's worst, and I am too, of writing people off in a hurry. And when I got to studying this, the Holy Ghost got to whooping me. And you can use what you want to. You can use your last name and say, oh, that's just the kind of family I am. Nope, that won't work. No, it won't work. If you got a resurrection that's real, that won't work. You'll have to get it right. Tonight, I want to show you just a few things of how to have a clear conscience. When you remember when you first got saved, y'all remember when you first got saved? Brother, you remember when you first got saved? Brother Johnny, you remember when you first got saved? You remember how clean you was? Well, you're still that clean, by the way. You're still that clean because that's the blood of Jesus. You're still that clean. But your conscience, your guilt pattern, things that are in your life start getting in your mind warring. The blood of Jesus saved you from your soul. Saved your soul, but man, your mind a war. So how do I have a clear conscience? How do I get back to where I was when I first got saved? Clean, fresh. Y'all remember that day, Brother Kevin? Brother Brent, you remember that? Sister Kim, you remember that? Man, you just wanted to stay in that moment forever. Forever. You just want to be right there. That's where your joy and your cheerfulness was, and you was happy. And then 6 months rolled down the road, and man, old Satan started throwing everything under the sun. And then you get thinking, well, am I even saved? Am I even saved? I'm the only one filled this way? No, everybody in this room feels that way. Because we all walk life. Life ain't easy. Life's hard. Life is hard. So how do I have a clear conscience between God and man? Because your conscience is going to get messed up tomorrow probably. Because you've done heard the truth tonight. It's probably going to get messed up tomorrow. How do I have it clear, though, preacher? Let me show you this tonight. Look what he says here. He said, not only do I know who I worship, I believe the resurrection is real, but man, my conscience has got to be clear. It's got to be clear. Look what he says in your Bible. If you'll turn with me back to Acts chapter number 24. Let's look at this right here before we go home. Acts chapter number 24. In verse 16, and herein do I exercise myself. To have a clear conscience, you're going to have to exercise a little bit. Spiritually exercise. You're going to have to. It's not going to come no other way. You're going to have to work it out. You're going to have to work out. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to read your Bible. You're going to have to study. You're going to have to, when the Holy Spirit pricks that heart and you know you got an alt with somebody, you got to get it right and you can't let it linger on. You got to do it. So I ain't in the wrong. Do it anyway. Make you feel good. They ain't talked to me in 30 years. Well, just get with them. It'll help you. Let me show you this. The conscience that was clear. That's probably what we're supposed to preach on to start with, because it's awful quiet in here right now. Look what he says tonight. How do I have a clear conscience with God and with man? Number one, the blood of Jesus Christ has to be applied to your life to start with. You'll never have a clear conscience with God without the blood. Now, man's different, but with God, it's got to be the blood. Hebrews chapter number 9, if you're taking notes, Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 14. Turn with me there, if you will, please. Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 14. Your conscience. How to get it clear. Hebrews 9:14, the Bible says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. There it is. Purge your conscience from dead works to serving the living God. The only way that you can serve God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. When you get saved, you have a clear conscience between you and God. Let me give you this tonight. Paul knew his conscience was clear by the blood of Jesus Christ. He knew his conscience was clear because of the Word of God tonight. That Word of God will correct your conscience when you need it corrected. It'll set it straight when it needs to be set straight. If you don't read it, it ain't going to be clear. It ain't going to be clear if you don't read it. People get saved, never come back to church. Their conscience is not clear. It may be clear with God, but it's distorted everywhere else. I'll give you this tonight. Proverbs chapter number 28 and verse number 13. If you're taking notes, Proverbs 28 and verse number 13. The blood's applied. I'm 6 months in my salvation journey, 8 months, a year, and I start feeling dirty again. I hope you make it a year. I didn't get that long. Start feeling dirty again. What do I do? What do I do to have a clear conscience? Look what he says. Proverbs 28:13, he that covers his sins shall not prosper. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have nothing in my life. So tonight I see the Word of God tells me that I cannot cover up nothing in my life. I have to be open like a book. I've got to be open. No matter if it costs me, I got to be open. Well, man, if I go make it right, it's going to cost me. It'll make me look bad. It don't matter. Look bad. Get it right. Because your conscience is clear by the blood of Jesus Christ, to start with. By the Word of God, He tells you don't cover up nothing. And to remember to always get it right, He has placed the Holy Ghost inside of a believer. I've had to reconcile with people that I did not want to reconcile with. I may be the only one. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to be one of them preachers going to lie. I've had to reconcile with people I didn't want to reconcile with, and it was their fault. Amen. But it was hindering me. They was laying down with me at night. They was getting up drinking coffee with me every morning. They was eating lunch with me. I'd be all alone at the eating table, and their name, only thing hitting in my mind, nothing else. My conscience is distorted, nothing else, and I've not forgiven them. I've not asked God to forgive me, to help me forgive them, and I just kept living with it every single day, and it robs your joy. You have no joy, you have no cheer, you have no peace. It robs it. Everywhere I went, that individual would be on my mind. And here's what the Bible, you say, preacher, it'll get better. No, it won't. It'll get over it. No, it won't. It'll hinder your prayer life. If you bow your head and you're on your knees at the end of your bed, wherever you pray, that's where I pray, and I bow down and I get to praying, and that name just comes up in my mind, that person that I ain't talked to and I know I got an alt with, or they got an alt with me or whatever, and it just comes in my mind, who do you think put that there? The Holy Ghost. He said He'll bring all things to your remembrance. And then here's what we do. We push it to the side. And we just keep on praying. And we wonder why none of them prayers are getting answered. And then we get down again and we pray again, and that name comes right back up. Whatever name, problem, whatever, comes right back up. We overlook it. We bypass it. Here it is right again. Your joy won't be full until you take care of that matter. Let me show you this. Matthew, if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 23. Tonight, Matthew chapter number 5, and we'll close here. Are you cheerful with your choice? Are you glad, man, that you're worshiping God? Are you glad that you got a resurrection inside of you? Are you glad tonight, man, that your conscience is clear? Man, just clear tonight. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 23 tonight. This is the Bible here. Matthew 5, 23, talking about, and Paul had every reason in the world to have hatred at them men. They accused him of something that was not even right, but he didn't. He had a clear conscience with them and God. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, come to the altar to pray. The altar, you know, is not this. The altar is Jesus Christ. Okay? When you come, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there, I told you that you remember, it's a remembrance. To have a clear conscience, he's going to bring things to your remembrance to get it right. He's going to. He's going to bring it to your mind to get it right. He's going to. If you're a child of God, he's going to bring things up, and you're going to think, man, why am I doing this? Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, And there, at the altar, when you get to where you want to pray and you need something, and you're right there, and you're at that, and there, remember, you remember it there, that thy brother hath an ought against thee. Oh, my goodness. I'm just going to brush it off and go on. What the Bible says. Leave there thy gift before the altar. Leave what you was bringing. And go thy way, and first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. And then come and offer thy gift. You and I want to be able to worship really, real as we can be, real worship, and be cheerful. But the only way we'll be able to do that is to have a clear conscience. Is to have a clear conscience. I've told this story before, and I'm going to tell it again. We was in the old building, and me and Brandy, she was sick, and I woke up that morning, and she was sick, and man, I let into hollering at her, screaming at her, I got to get ready for church, I ain't got time, you know how it is. And she stayed at home, and I left, and I come to church, didn't go to Sunday school, man, I was just irate, you know. I sat down in there, and people was happy, and they're smiling and grinning. How y'all doing? I was thinking, man, what you happy about? What you got to be happy about? And I sat in that office, and I flipped over there, and I got to reading right there in the book. And David Barnes was chairman at that time. I believe it was him. I know it was. Had to be an old building. And I come to David, and I said, look, if I ain't back in a little bit, just get somebody else to preach, I'll be back. He said, where are you going? I said, man, I got to go home. I got to get some things right before I get behind that desk. I went home, pulled up at the house, and walked in, and left Kaylee in Sunday school. I walked in, she's laying on the couch, and I walked in, she said, what are you doing here? And I didn't go in as a smart aleck. No. I didn't have to, because I didn't go grudgingly to have a clear conscience. The Holy Ghost knew how to send me. I had tears rolling down my face, and I got right there by the couch, and just knelt down there with her. And I said, I'm sorry for how I talked to you this morning. Oh, I didn't think nothing about it. I said, but the Holy Ghost wired me out about it. And I asked you to forgive me. She said, I forgive you. Son, I got up and left from there. You're talking about feeling free. Free. Because my conscience was clear. Make sure tonight, if your joy ain't where it needs to be serving Christ, and it's become a burden, a major burden, but you know you're saved, make sure you got a clear conscience. Paul said, I know who I worship. Preacher, I worship him. Amen. Preacher, I believe in the resurrection. Amen. How's your conscience tonight? You know, Brother Eric, that conscience won't let you sleep, will it? Won't let you sleep. Tonight, I pray your joy is full when you leave this place. And if your conscience ain't clear, get it right. Man, we ain't got long to live. And man, I want to be happy, don't you? Let us pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for this night. Thank you for the very many blessings of life. Lord, I know when I read this, you spoke straight to my heart. You wore me out with it, Father, and I thank you for it. Lord, I thank you that I got to get things right. I thank you that I got to get in line. I got to be lined up with you, Father. And I pray tonight, Father, for everyone that's in this room, that you bless them real good. Lord, tonight, if their conscience is not clear with you and with their neighbor, with their friend, with their family, Lord, I pray tonight that you just move on their heart and they get that right. Lord, there's no telling who might be hindering from being saved because of something might be in my life. Lord, a little ought in my life may hinder the whole service when we come in this place. Lord, I don't want it to be that way. Lord, I pray tonight that you bless these folk real good. Lord, you help them throughout this week. Be with the ones that's going to be traveling tomorrow going to the doctors. Lord, have your will and way. And we ask it all in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say, amen.